If you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll get to that in just a minute. As you know, I've been, the past 2 months, been talking to you about choices. And today I'm going to do one more, God willing, I'm going to do another one today. Probably about the choice that is the most difficult for us, and that is the choice to be excellent. And I believe this will really help you all today. I believe it's something that God wants me to share with you. It will be something that will keep you following the things that God wants you to do in a way that will help you accomplish them. So are you ready? Are you with me? We all make choices. Sometimes we make good ones. Sometimes we make bad ones. And this series that I've been doing has helped, I think, even myself, figure out that when our choice is in front of us, we need to perceive what is God saying to us so that we can make the right ones, because we don't always know, but God promises to give us wisdom. In fact, let's pray and let's ask him to give us the wisdom today that we need as we hear the word of God. Just bow your heads with me for a minute. Heavenly Father, as we take this moment to ask the Holy Spirit to come and teach us, we know that's his job, is to reveal truth to us. And so we pray to reveal your wisdom, your truth into our lives today. Lord, this message isn't for someone else. This is for me. I want to hear you speak to me about my life, the direction you want me to go, the choices that you want me to make. And I want to grow today. I want to change. I want to become better. I want to become an excellent witness for you. I want to make excellent choices to become all you've called me to be. So help me do that today in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. You know, being what God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do, it doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen just because it's God's divine will, his divine intervention. It doesn't happen because he wants it to happen. It happens because we choose to partner with him, become what he calls us to be, do what he calls us to do. I say this, I believe if you don't, then God won't. Okay, that's a good bumper sticker, but it's also true. If you don't, God won't. Now, God will do some things in his sovereignty. He will do some things by his Spirit. He will do some things that he said he will do, but there are some things he will not do if you don't do the things that he's asked you to do first. So that's what this is all about. The choice is to do what God's told us to do, so then God comes along and partners with us. And when that happens, we have the strength and the ability to do things that we couldn't do on our own. This is why I always say Christians who follow God, do what God says, they get to cheat. They get the advantage. They get the power of the Holy Spirit. They get the wisdom of God. They get the word of God, the promises of God. They get the forgiveness of God. They get the freedom of God. They get the leading of the Holy Spirit. We get all these privileges, but many times we still fall short because the actual choice to do what God says is not always easy. It's simple, but it's not always easy. God may want to, but if you won't do what he asks, many times nothing happens. Do nothing, nothing happens. So it's like stepping out in faith. You know, when Peter called to Jesus and said, "If it's you, Lord, bid me come. Tell me to come to you." But he had to step out of the boat. Jesus didn't translate him, go, and make him come out of the boat, did he? Sometimes your choices look like, hey, if I get out of this, if I make this choice, I could drown, even though God's telling me to do it. Believe me, if God's telling you to do it, you won't drown. You won't go broke. You say, well, sometimes faith is a risk. Well, faith can be a risk, but if it's what God has asked you to do, it's not really a risk. It's a responsibility, and God promises to reward your choice. So trust him. Trust him. God gives us things like truth. We pray for that. He gives us direction. He gives us inspiration. He gives us motivation. He gives us instructions. He gives us commands. He gives us all the raw materials. He even puts thoughts in our mind. He gives us creativity. He gives us this inspiration and these ideas and resources of time and spiritual growth and even people around us and wisdom. But in the end, all the resources and the things that God gives us, it still requires us to choose to do what God tells us to do. Are you glad you came today?
Yes.
All right, I'm glad because I'm not exactly sure what else I'm going to say, but I'm glad because I need to hear this today. All right? So pastors usually preach to the choir. Today, the pastor's preaching to the pastor. You know, when I thought about preaching this message, I went, I don't want to hear what I'm going to say today. Now, you know that, you know, Pastor Tom doesn't mind usually hearing what he says. When I don't want to hear what I'm going to say, you know it's going to be a good service. Better help me, Delvin. In the end, we have to choose to get off our butt and do what God asks us to do. We can't say butt this, butt that, butt this. You know, goats go butt, 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 butt. Sheep go, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And goats just butt everything. But I can't butt this, but this won't work, this, but this won't work. You know, when Moses was at the Red Sea taking the children out of Egypt into the promised land, or into the wilderness, but on his way towards the promised land, the Red Sea was there as a huge obstacle, yet this is the way God led them. This is the way God led Moses. And he said to Moses, Moses, take what is in your hand and stretch it forward. You know, when God asks you to do something, you're going to have to take what he's already given you and stretch. Now, most of the time, we would, and sometimes we even think this, that when God is going to tell us to do something, we are going to just bask in the promises and relax in the recliner. A recliner in my house is called a lazy boy. And there's a reason why it's called a lazy boy. It's not called risky boy. It's not called committed person. It's lazy boy. Why? Because when you're going to do what God's got, you have to take what he's given you and you got to stretch and invest and sow and believe that what God has given you is enough. A lifetime of fulfilling God's will starts with the first step of obedience. Fulfilling God's will starts with the choice to do what he says. And it starts with the decision to just obey the command he's given you. It begins with a choice. So today I want to talk to you about what I believe is the most difficult choice. And that is the choice to be excellent. Which means we all have some room to grow. Anybody here who has already reached the pinnacle of excellence and superiority? And you can't get any better. We'll change places. See, this is the most difficult choice. This is why I don't want to hear this. Because there are things in my life I know that I could just tweak a little bit and I could get a little bit better, but it's going to require me to make some more sacrifices, to make some more changes, to make some more commitments, to maybe get up a little earlier, to try a little harder, to sacrifice a little bit more. It's going to require more of me. It's going to require me to give up. To go up instead of lay down and just see what happens. Well, we know what happens when you lay down. The Bible has told us when you lay down. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands, and your poverty will surely come upon you. That's not excellent. God has not called you into poverty. Some people like poverty because then they just don't have to do anything and people can just give them everything. That's not God's will for you. He wants you not only to be out of poverty, but he wants you to be productive, giving to other people, helping other people, praying for other people, sacrificing for other people to get them out of that and helping them become excellent, but they need to see it in you. You know, a lot of times, a lot of people don't go to church. More and more people today aren't going to church. So where are they going to see the witness and hear the message of God? They're going to see it in your life. So it's great to sit here and say, amen, Pastor Tom. That's right. It's another thing to be out there just living what you know the Bible tells you to do so people can walk up to you and go, how did you get so good? How did you get these things? Or how come this always happens? How come doors always open for you? How come you're so successful? How come you have such wisdom? How come you don't make as stupid choices like everybody else on your team or at work? And you'll go, huh, you got a minute? I'm glad you asked. I know exactly why. That's because I'm following the principles of the Word of God. I say no to some things, and I say yes to some things. And when I say yes to certain things, God gets involved. Doors open up. Blessings come. And when adversity comes, and I say no to the temptation to quit, then that adversity turns around into opportunity. That crisis turns around into an occasion for me to rise up and overcome instead of go down in defeat. So choose to become excellent in thought, in attitude, and in your choices. Choose to become excellent. This is the most difficult choice that you will ever have, because making the choice to be excellent is not a one-time choice. It's not like marriage. It should be a one-time choice. It's not like something else. Maybe a one- or two-time choice. This is a choice that you make every day, sometimes every hour, sometimes moment by moment. It's an ongoing choice. It's an ongoing choice to continue. To choose the high road, to choose the narrow way, to choose to follow the spiritual journey that God has you on, instead of choosing the easy road, the lazy road, the selfish way, the shortcuts. Vince Lombardi said this. He said, "Winning is not a sometime thing. It is an all-the-time thing. You don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time." That's the way it is with excellence. It's one of the hardest things in life you choose to do, because it's constant. It's constant. But what I'm going to try to get over to you today is that this constant choice to be excellent can become a habit, so that when you look at something, you don't get tempted, or at least you're not drastically tempted, to make the choice to just be average, just to be mediocre, just like everyone else. Well, that's the standard. Everybody else gets by with that. If that's what you want to be, then that's what'll work for you. That's not what I'm here to help you with today. I'm here to help you be above average, way above average, way above average. It's lonely. It's lonely up here, because once you start being excellent and things begin to happen in your life, people look at you and say, "Give me some of your stuff." Well, you're lucky. I love that when God's blessing you and people just call you lucky because you've been obedient to what he said. Well, you're lucky. Those doors just don't open for me. Well, they can. Those blessings just never come to my life. Well, they can. If it's not true, I'll eat the Bible. I've never said that before. But that's how convicted I am about this, that it is true, because this is what God said. Jesus said, "I have come to give you life and more abundantly." Okay? But we got to understand what that means. That's the choice to do things the way God said them. Can I tell you something about God? He's right. He's got an attitude. He thinks he's God, and he thinks he's right. And Jesus, what he said, he thinks what he said was right. He said, "I am the truth and the way and the life. There is no other way. I've got it. I've got the handle on this. Yes, I'm excluding all other religions. I'm excluding all other ways to heaven. I'm excluding all other revelations of God except mine. I'm right." And he gets to do that. And we get to choose to do what he said and follow him. And I choose to, because I believe he was right. I believe Jesus was just right about stuff. So, one of the hardest things is the constant pursuit of this excellence, to be better today than you were yesterday, to be better tomorrow than you are today, to commit to a life of continual growth and improvement, to commit to that day after day after day after day. Most of us, in order to do that, again, it doesn't happen by accident. Most of us, I would say almost all of us, we need a plan for that to happen. Unless it's just such a habit that you make a habit, and it will become a habit, but you need a plan in order to start. You need to carve out some time. You need to say, "These are the choices I'm going to make to get the revelation, get the truth of God, to get his wisdom in my life, so when choices come, I'm not caught off guard." Right? And just make choices impulsively. You know, some, you ever heard this before? Maybe you've heard this. Don't go to this grocery store when you're hungry. Don't make big decisions when you're tired or hungry, okay? Don't have a conversation with your spouse when you're upset and angry. How's that going for you? Well, I'm right. Could be. Doesn't really matter, though, when you're like that. All right. So there are certain things, certain choices you can't make when you're in a certain state of mind or you have certain feelings. You have to step out of it unless you have created a habit in your life that no matter how I feel, I'm doing the right thing. No matter how I feel, I'm doing what God tells me to do. No matter what other people think about me, I don't have to prove anything to anybody else. I'm going to do the right thing. Unless you've come to that place, you know, you need to grow into a place where what you know is right is exactly what you're going to do. Part of that is called integrity. That you do what you know is right, even if you don't feel like it, even if nobody else agrees with it, or even if nobody else is watching. You still do the right thing. What do you think, Dovin? Are we doing good today?
Yes.
All right. Should I keep going?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Everyone say, I'm going to get better. I'm going to grow. I'm going to improve. I'm going to change. And I'm going to start now. Okay, we'll see. All right. I said that to, I won't say, I'm going to get sidetracked there. All right, so someone said, if you make easy choices every day, your life will be hard. If you make hard choices every day, your life will be easy. The messages will be up online later this week. You can go back and re-listen to that. But I thought about that. If I make hard choices, then my life will become easy because I've already made the difficult choice. If I keep making easy choices, ultimately my life will become hard because other things will happen because I've just made the easy choices. The lazy choices, the selfish choices. All right, are you in Ephesians chapter 5? All right, good. I hope you still have your place there. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read from the Phillips translation, which will be up on the screen here. So if you want to throw that up there for me, Rachel, that would be great. Paul writes this to the Ephesians. He says, live life, then, with a due sense of responsibility. Not as men or women who do not know the meaning and purpose of life, but as those who do. Next verse. Make the best use of your time despite all the difficulties of these days. Next verse. Don't be vague, but firmly grasp what you know to be the will of God. This is all I've really been saying here today. Is take responsibility for what God has told you to do. Find out what he's called you to do, what he's called you to be. Firmly grasp that. And don't slack off, because life is difficult. The word there is, the days are evil, okay? Life is evil. Life is difficult. It just means as you go through life, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have problems that show up. I mean, you could get up one morning and go, this is the day the Lord has made, and all of a sudden somebody could run over your car or shoot your dog or you know, you get a bad report from the doctor and you go, what, life was fine yesterday. Bad things happen. Stuff happens on the way to heaven. But miracles happen too. Okay? Even though bad things happen on the way to heaven, miracles happen on the way to heaven. And when bad things happen, I have firmly grasped what the will of God is for my life. And I know that if I'm following what God's told me to do, nothing can shake me from that. No doctor's report, no accident. You know, Pastor Lori and I have had several accidents. I got hit by a freight train 2 weeks before we got married. Pastor Lori, the day she was going to launch the daycare, got hit sideways by a car going through an intersection and flipped her car over. I mean, you know all this. I mean, but this is the thing I'm telling you. Bad things happen to try to stop you from doing the will of God, or even just life in general to stop you from enjoying life. And you've got to say, you know, nothing can stop me from doing the will of God. Now, things can stop you from doing your will, because There's no promise there that God gives you to, you know, enjoy the things that you want to do unless it's in line with honoring God and focusing on his purpose. Now, the Amplified of this says this in verse 15. The Amplified says, and you can go back and just track with the Phillips here. The Amplified says, look carefully then how you walk or how you live your life. This is part of the planning. You step back and you look at your life, okay? And you go, well, all the things that I have to do in my life, these aren't my choices. Well, I disagree with that. So there you go. Paul says, live... Come on, Delvin, help me out. Paul says, live your life every day with a sense of God's destiny and purpose. So are you saying that what you're doing is not living your life according to God's destiny and purpose? Well, then make some changes. Start to. Well, I have to do this, I have to do that. Who said? Well, I have to pay for this bill, and I have to pay for that bill, and I have to pay for this bill. Okay, so now we're going to go to a financial seminar and say you're living way beyond your means, so now you have to have a job so you can't even do what God asks you to do? Now, Pastor Tom, you're confusing me now. If we're not work, you're not going to eat. I understand, but you can still live according to God's purpose. You will be able to find your destiny and purpose in line with the vocation and occupation he gives you in order to fulfill. God is always first. Your destiny and purpose always has to be first. Your job, paying the bills, comes second to what God wants. If you're doing what God wants, he will supply those needs. Not necessarily wants. I've had a lot of stuff I want, and then I've been in a place in my life where I don't have anything I want. I've been in both places. You know what? And it seems like God was almost oblivious to some of it. It's like he was just interested. He's so one-track mind. I'm like, God, I need all this stuff. He goes, you don't need all that stuff. You got food. You got a place to sleep. You got some clothes. Now do what I ask you to do. Don't get all worked up with it. You got the latest iPhone, or you got this thing, or you got that thing. You can believe me for whatever you want to. I can give it to you. But let's get first things first. Make the choice in your life. See, when you become unified with the destiny that God has for you, with the purpose of and the meaning of why you're on this earth, all of a sudden stuff shows up in your life and you almost didn't know how it gets there. Opportunities show up and you almost don't know. I didn't even plan. I mean, and then because you are who God wants you to be, you're able to walk through the door. You're able to receive that blessing and people go, you know, years and years ago, Lori and I sold our house, and God says, leave Milwaukee, kind of like Abraham, leave Milwaukee and go to Tennessee, go to Bible school, and go and sell everything and put it into the ministry and go full-time into the ministry. So we did that. It was wonderful. You know, of course, when you're 24 years old and don't have any children, you just don't care about stuff. You just go. Well, actually, that wasn't the story. It was because, and I had a lot of security here. My dad was... My dad gave me a job. He actually sat down with me before I went to Bible school, and he said, "You want to be a partner with me in my business at Wilkie Dairy?" And I'm like, "No offense. I mean, I love you, Dad, but no. God's called me to be in the ministry." I left. Boom, go. 5 years later, when we come back, and I become a pastor after that time. Just out believing God, no paycheck every week, nothing like that. Some guy walks into my office and he says, "I'm a real estate developer. I want to give you 1/10 of my parcel, which would be a lot, and I want to build your house for my cost. It's going to cost you what it cost me to build your house, and you get to design it." And I'm in that house today, and I'm like, "God, I don't want to live in this house. People are going to think this is too extravagant. I mean, it's not really extravagant, but it's a nice house." It's a beautiful place. God says, "This is my gift to you. Take it. Enjoy it. Use it for my glory. But don't think you're not worthy of it." Okay? But I wasn't like, "Man, what can I do to try to get a big house in Mequon?" I don't want a big house anywhere. You got to clean it. You got to cut the grass. You got to pay taxes. I don't want that. I live in a tent somewhere. Pastor Lori's not here to comment, so that's good. So I'm living, we were living purposefully according to God's destiny and purpose, and stuff shows up as a blessing. Okay? So get your eyes off of stuff, get your eyes onto the change that God wants to do in your life, and then he can reward you accordingly. And believe me, he promises to do it. If you give up this in your this lifetime, you will receive a hundredfold return. Whatever that means, he promises to do some rewards. So live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as unwise and witless, Amplified says, but as wise, sensible, and intelligent people. Paul says, make choices here that are based on fulfilling the will of God with an attitude of excellence, a sense of destiny, with godly wisdom, with personal responsibility. Be willing to invest in your growth. Be willing to sacrifice to become what God's called you to be. Be willing to sow seeds in order to accomplish that. See, whenever we have given into the ministry, or whenever we have sacrificed to do what God tells us to do, you know, we don't just say we're giving. We don't just say, well, we're committed. Here's the language that we'll use. We are sowing seeds for our future destiny. Seeds grow up, unless there's a lot of weeds around, they usually produce a harvest. I venture to say a lot of the things that I enjoy today that just show up are because of the investment that I have made over the years in the kingdom of God. And God promised, he says, I'm going to reward you. I'm going to reward that. I can't tell you when. Some of it's in eternity. Some of it could be here. That's up to God. That is up to God. But you can trust him to reward you. Verse 16 says, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Because there's a lot of difficulties and problems. Okay? So make the most of the time. Verse 17, do not be vague or thoughtless and foolish, but understand and fully grasp what the will of God or what the will of the Lord is. Now, we've spent the last 6 months here at Spirit Life Church talking about what the will of God is. How are we doing on this? Are we getting it? Are we getting it? Do we remember anything we talked about on Sunday morning? Well, Delvin, do you? Yeah, some. Not enough. Not enough. Do we understand and fully grasp what the will of the Lord is? Huh? Has this impacted us? This is why. Because we are trying for the last 6 months to do the last half of that verse. That's all we've been doing. Trying to grasp and do the will of God. That's why we're here. To do the will of God and to bring him glory and honor while we're doing it. All right? It's box elder. It's God's destiny for me to kill that thing. All right. And if you see one, you can join me in the fight. Okay. Now, right, Pastor Jean? Yeah. God had a purpose for him right there, or her. And that was it right there. Sacrifice, martyr, right there, right in the front, just to be a martyr. So anyway, among Christians in our culture today, we live in a culture of mediocrity. Okay, when somebody is excellent or they succeed, you know what we all do? We watch them, and we are so fascinated. It's one of the reasons us guys, we actually like watching, most of us like watching football. Because we see these athletes and we go, yeah, this is what they need to do. Yeah, they need to do better at that. Yeah, okay, well, step up. You try that. When you get to the level where you're exceptional and you're paid $1 million to be beat up on a little grass field with a pigskin running around, when you get to be paid millions of dollars to do that, you know you've put in some time practicing. You know, you just get out of bed one day and go, yeah, I think I'll play linebacker today. Yeah, I think I'll play the quarterback today. Move over. You put some time into to developing your skill. You've put some some sacrifice. You've endured some pain. No pain, no gain. You've endured the sacrifice of what it would take to become great at the skill that God has given you. Now, here's what I want to tell each one of you. You may not be qualified to play in the NFL or in professional sports, but you are all qualified to play on God's team in whatever He's called you to do. So take your skill, develop it, give it to God, and use it for His glory. Come on, Delvin. I need to hear you. See? The church probably is one of the worst places for mediocrity. You know, in the music industry, which Lori and I are in, you know, there's this little expression, that's good enough for gospel. Good enough for gospel. Hey, when it comes to God's music, it should be the best. We shouldn't be skimping because, oh, this is just for God. You know, God will understand if I slack off. God will understand if I'm lazy. God will understand if I'm selfish. God will understand if all I want is my way and my say, and everybody else can hit the highway. God will understand. You know what? God is an excellent God. God wants us to embrace the life that He has given us with a sense of every moment, every day is precious, and He wants us to become the best that we can be at what He's called us to on this earth. Not just get by, or not just do whatever we want when nobody's... I mean, sometimes the children in the daycare van or in the daycare, they'll be doing something, and I'll look at them, and they go, well, nobody was watching me. And I'll say, you're right, nobody was watching you, except God is always watching you. Nobody's watching me. God is always watching us. See, the kingdom of God is not mediocre. It's not a, well, we'll just do whatever we need to get by. The kingdom of God is not just get by. Jesus didn't come here and walk through the earth going, yeah, I'll do this, but I don't want to do that. I'll change the water into wine. We'll have a party so everybody likes me, but I won't confront the Pharisees. You know, I'll heal somebody, but I won't do it on the Sabbath because I know how controversial that is. He didn't walk around and say, you know, children, you're bothering me. Could you just set aside? I've got more important people to talk to. You know, he didn't get to the Garden of Gethsemane and, you know, I know what's about to happen to me, and that's a little over my pay scale. So I think just right now I'm going to go to sleep with the disciples who are back over by that tree. Thank God Jesus didn't say, well, I can just do what we can get by with. God's kingdom is excellent. It's precise. It's powerful. And when you focus your energies on developing who God has called you to be, then God opens doors that no man can shut. But there may be an opportunity waiting for you to fulfill God's will, but you have not prepared yourself to walk through that door, so it remains closed. Because if you walked up to it, it couldn't open. You need to be ready for the opportunity when it comes. You know, you can see opportunity going. Pretty simple. It's harder to see it coming. So what if I get ready and it doesn't come? Well, just enjoy the journey. But trust me, if you get ready for fulfilling God's will in your life and the destiny He's given you, and you're prepared to pay the price to be the best at what you can be, the opportunity will open. The door will open. The promotion will come. The promotion will come. You know, let's just take your work for a second. If you want to be promoted on your work, do what you're asked to do, and then some. Everybody say that. And then some. And then some. And then some. You want to be promoted on your job? When you're required to be there, don't be on time. Be there early. Don't be on time. Be early. All right? When God asks you to be in church, don't be on time. Okay? Now, you can look at somebody else while I'm saying this part. Okay? Be on time. Be on time. Pastor Tom and Lori are on time. Well, you're getting paid. Okay. Well, Laurel's on time. She's not getting paid. Well, she could drive here by herself. She could sleep in. She could look ugly when she gets here. She doesn't have to fix herself up. I don't know if she even possibly could look ugly. Anyway, so Frank's here. He's here before anybody else. He's here as early as I am. He's not getting paid for this. When you want to be excellent, you just make some choices that this is the most important thing right now. This is what I'm called to do. This is what God's asking me. This is the will of God. And I need to be fully engaged. Instead of like, well, we'll see what happens. You know, God really wants me to do this. You know, could we just take a breath here and go, I do know what God's called me to do, and I'm going to be about my Father's business. Okay? Go. The kingdom of God is not whatever happens, happens. It's not, you know, hold us, just try to get by. Let's look at this in Job 37, 23, and I'll read it from the Amplified version here on the screen. Regarding the Almighty, we cannot find him out. In other words, he is so excellent, we don't even understand how awesome he is. Okay? He excels so much, way beyond our understanding. He is excellent in power and to justice and plenteousness, plenteous righteousness, he does no violence. He will disregard no right. He sees everything, okay? He's always doing the things that are excellent. He's always doing the right thing. He's always, that's the way he is. And he wants us to follow him in that excellent path. Psalm 19, 7 and 8 from God's Word translations. The teachings of the Lord are perfect. They renew the soul. I love that. The teachings of the Lord are perfect. Come on. The teachings of the Lord are perfect. They renew the soul. The testimony of the Lord is dependable. Whatever God says, it's going to happen. That's why I said I'll eat the Bible if what God says isn't true. The testimony of the Lord is dependable. It makes gullible people wise. Well, we qualify there. You ever been gullible by something? Makes next verse. Verse 8. The instructions of the Lord are correct. They make the heart rejoice. You see, when you're following the instructions of the Lord, you're going to do right things, and life is going to work the right way. And what's going to happen? Your heart's going to go, woo, I like that. I like it when it works right. It was a hard choice, but when I make hard choices, life gets easy. Why? Because the Lord is correct. The command of the Lord is radiant. It makes the eyes shine. Doing what God says, when you do it and you can accomplish what God says, it brings a supernatural energy to your life. This is what is so exciting, if you have never experienced it, about spiritual growth and discipline, about setting your life in an order and on a track to do the things that God asked you to do, to grow, to become better, to become excellent, to become a mature believer, to become seasoned in the things of God, to know what he says, so whatever situation you're in, you can go, I know what God says about this. I don't have to wait till Sunday for my pastor to tell me, or Pastor Lori to prophesy for me what the problem is. God is speaking to me, and he's confirming it by his word, and I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to walk around happy. My eyes are shining. Ooh, yeah. That's good, isn't it? That's good. This is our Lord, perfect, dependable, correct, radiant. And you're going to be in one of those two camps. You're going to be following God with excellence, or you're going to be mediocre. What that means? That doesn't taste good. And it doesn't taste good to God. You know what he says about lukewarmness? Yeah. Spit it out, baby. Spit it out. Come on. Get on fire. Get on fire with your growth. Get on fire and be motivated to become everything that God's called you to be. There is no secret to success or greatness or excellence. There are no secrets. Here's all there is. Writing this down. choices. There's no secret to this. Oh, the secret to this, the secret to that. I'll tell you what the secret is. Making the right choice. That's the secret. People are going to go, oh, tell me how you did it. I got out of bed a little early. I showed up on time. I worked my butt off. I don't know, God's blessing me. I'm believing God. I'm trying to honor him. I'm treating people the right way. I'm being faithful. I'm not cutting corners. I'm not stealing. I'm not saying one thing and doing another. I'm living my life according to the word of God. Is that boring? Not when you see the results. Not when you see what God's going to do in return. Okay? So there's no secret. You just choose to grow, choose to change, choose to live your life in an honoring way with a due sense of responsibility that God has given you this one life, and do everything you can to honor him with it. Is that good? Okay, you're going to do it? I'll keep preaching otherwise. I've got more stuff here. I'm only halfway through. What should I do? I don't know. Oh, Pastor Laurie says keep going. Packers aren't playing today. Why not? All right. Philippians 1:10 says this. It's not on the screen, so just listen. Philippians 1:10 says, I want you to be able to discern what is excellent. You see, a lot of people don't even know. They've been so confused with what the world has told them. They don't even know what's excellent. They just think a lot of stuff and a life of ease is what excellence is. That is not what excellence is. In fact, excellence can be just the opposite. Lean and mean and be willing to do the right thing no matter what the world, the devil, your flesh, or anybody else says. That's the direction to get into excellence. Whatever gets attracted to that, nobody can take that from you. Because if they steal it from you, it'll just come back to you. Even greater. If it's not true, I'll eat the Bible. All right. So, we can choose to be what God called us to be, and we can aim our life in a direction that will bring glory to God and bear fruit for his kingdom. Okay, that's what we want to do. We want to follow a certain direction. And Paul said, the direction I'm going to follow is I'm going to pray for the discernment to know what's excellent, so those are the things that I can do. I can live in the high call of God. You know, you can live as a Christian and miss the call of God because you have to pursue the heavenly call, the high call, God's call upon your life. Not just to be sweet, not just to say, yeah, I love Jesus, and not just to come to church once in a while and worship him and say a nice little prayer at dinner. No, you got to follow the high call of God, and that means there are some things that you will say no to and some things that you will say yes to. He says, so I can press toward a higher level of excellence each day, Paul says. You know, life is like a flowing river, and it's like a fast-flowing river, and you're either going upstream or you're going downstream, but you can't sit around and just pretend to stay in the same place. Now, going upstream is difficult, but that's the direction you have to go to fulfill the will of God, is upstream. And you may be going upstream, rowing, and you're seeing Christians going downstream saying, goodbye, I'm taking the easy road, sucker, see you later. Just ignore them. Ignore them. Ignore them. Ignore the temptation to be mediocre. Ignore the temptation to think, well, you know, average is going to be okay. I can get C's. It's okay. No, you should be upset that if what the thing God's called you to do, you're average in. You should excel in that area. I mean, not in everything, but in that area. You ought to know more than anyone else as Christians that this fight is to keep you from God's will, from keeping you. The flesh, the devil, the world is trying to attack you to stop you from doing what God's called you to do. And you just got to say, you got to be aware of that and say, I'm not going to choose those things. Well, I don't feel like that today, or I feel this way today. And your feelings mean, you want to know what they mean? Nothing. God didn't say, do this as long as you feel good about it. Do this as long as you're feeling good today. Do this as long as you don't have any fear or anxiety about it. Do this as long as it doesn't ruffle anybody. No. In fact, the majority of the time, you know, Jesus is like, well, we're going to do, and then everybody's like, up in arms, kill the man. He said the wrong thing at the wrong time, doing the wrong thing. Jesus didn't go, you know, this might offend some people. Well, you get a choice, offend God or offend people. It's okay. When they see your success, they'll go, you know, at first I was really upset with that you did, but now I'd like to know more. I'd like to know more. So find the thing that energizes you, that you are called to, that you're skilled at, that makes you want to stay up late, get up early. Find that thing that helps you say, I can sacrifice, I can commit, I can do this and become better every day and every day, and implement that in your life. And you know, when I say this, everybody, I imagine almost everybody in here is going, yeah, there is something that energizes me. There is something I can be passionate about. And I just need to, in fact, I've kind of lost that. I've just kind of put that aside. And you know what? God wants you to resurrect some of those things that helped you grow, that you were passionate about, that you were committed to, that you know God called you to in ministry, or the gifts he's given you that you could now release and use to help make the world a better place. Find that. Fulfill your life with it, and you'll make excellent choices. Even in the midst of failure and dysfunction and insurmountable problems, you will find life will turn around for your good when you're following what God's called you to do. I don't know where to end here, Pastor Lori. Maybe one more week? All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up because I've got some more things that I think are really, really important for you to hear about striving for excellence. Are you okay with this?
Yes.
All right. Unless you want to stay another half an hour. Desiree, you bringing pizza? You know, my father-in-law, who's a Lutheran pastor for many years, used to say, the mind can only receive what the seed can endure. Let's stand on our feet because I want you to get this, and so I'm going to continue this next week. One of the spiritual gifts I have is exhortation. I love to be able to help people, including myself, hear the truth of what God has told us to do, of what God has called us to be, and challenge ourselves to go the distance, to become something that we can't be unless we make the commitment to grow. And I want to make that commitment with you today, is to say, God, I want to grow. I'm going to put a plan in place. I want to do some things that are going to change who I am so that I can change the world around me. Most people are looking at the world around them thinking that that needs to change. It's one of the reasons I hate election time. Because we all think if we elect the right person, everything is going to change. Excuse me. That really isn't funny. It's ridiculous that that's going to change us because we elect the right person. It can change some laws. It can change some things in a society. But you know where the change always needs to begin? It always needs to begin in here. We could elect a government that takes away my freedom to preach and tell you the truth. You know what that's going to do to me? Nothing. I'm already free. I will never stop telling people the truth about what Jesus did for them. That has no effect on me. Oh, my goodness, they're taking away our freedoms. Well, I'm enjoying the ones I have. But what's changed on the inside of me is the fear of man, so that I don't fear somebody violating the word of God, trying to put me in jail because of it. And that's the way your life needs to be. I'm going to choose to do what God tells me to do. No matter what laws are passed, you know, you may lose your job because you can't bring a Bible to work. You may be kicked out of school because you can't bring a Bible to the government schools that we've got now. guess what? That's not your problem. You're doing what God tells you to do. But you've got to grow to the place where you think, I'm going to live in the perfect will of God. I'm going to live responsibly every day to get a little bit better. Let's close our eyes. Is there something in your life today that you know is keeping you from being excellent, being what God's called you to be, from moving forward in the things of God? Have you put aside your calling or your destiny or spiritual gift thinking, well, if God ever wants that, he can resurrect it? Well, God's resurrecting some things today in your life. He is saying to you, come up a little higher. He is saying to you, you have not yet attained, but press forward towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. People's lives are depending on you being like Jesus. You acting like Jesus. People's lives are depending. The kingdom of God is waiting for you to enter into full manifestation of a son or a daughter of God. The earth is groaning, saying, we need the sons and the daughters of God. It's crying out. And here we are on the precipice of stepping in out of the boat into the miraculous. Stretch forth your hand, God told Moses. Stretch forth your hand. Take what's in your hand and stretch. And watch what God will do. What's in your hand today? Are you willing to use it for him? Stretch it? Sacrifice it? Let God have it? Let's pray this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for all you've done for me. I'm eternally grateful. Help me to be able to see all that you have done for me and given me. And in return, I want to use those things for your glory. Show me what I have that you want me to use. The time, the gifts, the relationships, the resources, the wisdom, the ideas, the creativity, my uniqueness of all I am and you want me to be. And help me get better at representing you and walking out my high calling on this earth. Fill me, God, now with your Holy Spirit and convict me where I am going astray and direct my paths. Speak to them, Lord. I pray now that the Holy Spirit speaks to each one in here. He's going to tell you, maybe not a big thing, maybe a little thing you can do. And the next day, another little thing you can do. The next day, another little thing you can do. The next day, another little thing you can do. And in 2 weeks from now, those little things will start to become a bigger thing. Don't wait. Don't wait for the big breakthrough. Start now. Start today. Go home, make the change. Go home, ask God to forgive you and help you get back on the right path. Do it. Do it. I exhort you. As a pastor, I shepherd you. I direct you towards the full and complete will and manifestation of God in your life. Don't fear it. Don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of him. It'll be the most exciting journey you've ever been on. For those of you who have, you know it. You know it. You know you want to be in the perfect will of God. Not dabbling around the edges. Not hoping. Not wondering. Not waiting. Jump in. God says, jump into my loving arms. I will embrace you through this. I'm developing the Son of God on the inside of you. I'm developing my character and my nature in you. And I'm going to prosper the works of your hands so that you can see his miraculous power working through you. In Jesus' name, amen. Just worship God right now. Just worship him.